Welcome to Beach Reach's Sunday Evening Sermon by Reed Burkett. Tonight's lesson is in Exodus chapters 3 and 4.
Okay, can y'all hear me? Yeah? All right, first thing is first, we have to take a 0.5 selfie real quick, all right? Here we go. All right, so try and get in here if you can. Oh, wait, I got to turn around. Hang on, I thought I was cool. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? Oh, wait, no, you don't turn around. Here we go. Hang on. I know how to do this. I'm relevant. I know how to do this. All right, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. All right, anyone over here? All right, enough of that. That's it. No more fun having, all right? Let's get serious, everybody. Serious. I'm the captain now, all right? Just kidding, I'm not. I'm Joe's intern. Okay. I've been coming to Beach Reach for 8 years, and the reason why I get so excited for Beach Reach is because I spent 5 years working in the church before I came to BSM, and maybe once a year I shared the gospel personally in a conversation with someone. I was perfectly comfortable standing up at a pulpit and talking about Jesus, but when it came to a one-on-one conversation, it scared everything out of me. It was something that I couldn't do. And I remember my first year as a director at Wayland Baptist University. Shout out the Pioneers. Go Nears, right? There they are. All right. I took a team to Beach Reach, and it was like baptism by fire in sharing my faith. And I remember by the end of that week, I had lost my voice because I had shared the gospel so many times in one-on-one conversations. And I came back from that week forever changed. I'd been trained in ministry for years in school. I'd spent 5 years working in the church. But it wasn't until I got into the field in South Padre Island, Texas, that God showed me that I can be a part in a personal conversation of seeing someone's eternity changed by the gospel forever. And my prayer, our prayer for you this week, is that y'all will encounter the same thing and that you guys will see the force that you are for the gospel and for the kingdom in this world. That's our hope. And our prayer for you is that you have that same experience where you see that God wants to use each and every one of you for his plan to reconcile all the world back to himself. So it's a pretty crazy mission, though, to reconcile the world back to himself. Some might say impossible. I have 3 kids. Weird segue, I know. I'm weird. Get over it. I have 3 kids. My middle son, his name is Brecken. He's 5 years old. And he likes to make messes all over our house. And we have a room that's kind of like a landing slash office, but now is a playroom with like a gazillion toys. And I don't know if any of y'all know all the names to all the Paw Patrol pups, but I do, even the special edition ones, all right? They are expensive. No, I don't. Listen, we're about gospel efficiency here, and naming all the pups would not be gospel efficient use of time. So, but at the end of the day, when we're about to get ready to go to bed, what we do is we clean up the play area. And every single night when I tell my son Brecken it's time to clean up the play area, he says, "Dad, that's impossible. I can never do that. How can you possibly expect me to do that?" And yet, because me and my wife know that it is possible, in fact, for us to pick up all these toys and put them away, we take him through the process step by step by step. And after every single task that he does, like literally, "Hey, pick up Chase," you know, he picks up Chase and puts him away. "And now pick up Marshall." See, now I am doing it. Yeah, okay. But step by step by step, we lead him through the process. And by the end of the night, he sees that the mission that he thought was impossible actually wasn't impossible all along because we had a plan. And how much like that is the Great Commission for us? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And I'll be with you always to the end of the age. How impossible is that, that we would take the gospel and make disciples of every nation? And yet God has been here throughout thousands of years, taking us step by step by step through his process to reach the world. And here on South Padre Island, we are another part of that process to fulfill the Great Commission. And each and every one of you being here have taken on that impossible mission. I want to talk tonight just to give you guys some hope, and maybe to give you guys some time to give things to God, about someone who also received an impossible mission from the Bible. And when I realized that I was part of being a BSM or a Beach Reach coordinator was that I was gonna have to speak in front of 1,000 people, I began to pray about it many months ago because that terrified me. And so I was like, "God, first off, help me to have bladder control. And then second off, no, all right." But But if I run off stage in the middle of this, I'll be back in like 1 to 2 minutes, okay? But I started to pray about what was the word that God wanted to share on the first night with you guys, and God kept bringing me back to Exodus 3 and to Moses. You see, when God encountered in Moses, when God encountered Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he was about to be given a great mission. And he shared with Moses, "Hey, I want you to go to the Pharaoh because my people, your family, have been enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. And I want you to go to the Pharaoh, the king of the world, and tell him to let my people go." That's a big mission. That's an impossible mission. Almost like, "Hey, I want you to go to South Padre Island and sit in the back of a van and let random people come on, and then you're going to start a conversation with them, and at some point you're going to turn the conversation, and then you're going to ask them what they believe about Jesus, and then you're going to try and share the gospel with them and lead them to the Lord." Maybe something like that. Something like the mission that each of us have been given this week. And Moses, he had a response to God. And he began to pour out his heart to God. Now, this is pretty bold of Moses. I'm not going to lie. He sees God in the form of the burning bush, the great I am, okay, and takes off his sandals. God speaks to him audibly with his voice. And Moses has some doubts. But God has responses for him. So tonight we're going to go through 4 doubts that Moses had, and maybe these will resonate some with you guys, and 4 responses that God had for Moses and that I believe that God has for us, because every one of us in here tonight, if we have doubts about what God is calling us into, I promise you that God has a response for your doubt. He has an answer. So we'll start in Exodus 3, verse 13 through 14. It says this: "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who,'" God said to Moses, "'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" So the first doubt that Moses has is right here. He says, "God, what do I say?" And God's answer to Moses and to us is to tell them who he is. Y'all have spent the last weeks, some of y'all even months, preparing to be in the vans and on the ground, sharing about the gospel, being witnesses to testify about the power of Jesus Christ in your life. You can talk about music, you can talk about sports, you can talk about food. I love barbecue, I love the University of Texas Longhorns football team, all right? Yeah, okay, get over it, all right? We went to the playoffs this year. None of y'all did. All right. Sorry, too heavy. Anyway, yeah, but we can all agree on barbecue, okay? And yeah, I love Parker McCollum. All right, I like Texas country music, and I can talk about those things with anybody on the island this week. I can. But the only conversation I can have with someone that's going to change their eternity is a conversation about who God is. And so when we get the opportunity and we don't know what to say, our revert should not be to go back to maybe an interest that we have, but who is God? And how has he shown himself to us through his son, Jesus Christ? How has the gospel affected our lives? Unfortunately, no one's life has ever been transformed by those lesser topics, but it has been transformed by Jesus. And I know that because mine has, and I testify to it. And each and every one of you in here, I believe that you're here because you have a similar story, that the gospel has transformed your life. And so you're here on the island to share that with your peers. All right, second doubt here, Exodus 4, verses 1 through 5. Let's read this together. "Then Moses answered, 'But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And then Moses ran from it." He wasn't Cajun. "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out,'" all right, no Louisianans in here? All right, fine. "'But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.' So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." Let's look at this doubt that Moses had. What if they don't believe me? God's answer to him, God shows him that through the power of the snake and the staff, and later on through the power of the pale skin and then his hand being turned back to normal, that it wasn't Moses' power. Moses did not turn that staff into a snake. Into a snake? Man, that'd be even better than a snake. Good grief. I convert on the spot, you know? You turn a piece of wood into a ribeye, I'm in. That's my thing right there. No, sorry. Into a snake. God says, it's through my power and not yours that they will believe. It's through my power and not yours that they will believe. God's working long before we got to this island in the hearts of men and women around this state, around this country, and around this world. And it's through that power that's working long before we're here, while we're here, and after we're gone, that people's lives are going to be transformed. It's not our charisma, it's not how good we are at talking, it's not how well-trimmed our beards are, or how cool our clothes are. It's not those things that transform people's lives, it's the power of God. And so if you're worried about what's gonna happen tonight, or tomorrow night, or this week, and you have doubts, know that it is not by your power that God will do a move this week, and we will see so many people respond to the gospel. It is by God's power. He goes before us. He goes in the vans with us. He's on the ground on the beach with us. And he will be here long after we are gone. All right, let's look at the third doubt here, you guys. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Here's Moses' doubt, and maybe this is some of y'all's doubt in here tonight. I am not enough. And the answer that God has for him is that you are not enough, but he is. We are not enough. But he is. One of my first years to come to Beach Reach, I had to drive the van most of the night, and we were on a late shift. And for those of you who've been here before, you know that as the shift gets later, the people become less easy to talk to. I don't know, something's going on out there that's making them slur their words or something. I haven't figured it out yet. If you guys figure it out, clue me in, okay? I'd like to know the answer to this mystery. But I'd been driving all night, and finally it was 3:15 a.m. They had shut down midnight breakfast, and we were going out to do one more ride, and I was tired of driving, so finally I was like, somebody else get up here and drive. I'm going to get in the back. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody. No one at 3:15 a.m. on Thursday night on Padre Island over spring break is going to be able to be coherent enough to have a conversation. So we start to drive, and I just pray, and I say, "God, if you bring someone on our van who is able to speak, then I will share the gospel with them." And sure enough, we start to drive past Louis from the church, and we pick up this guy. His name is Joe, and he's about 22 years old. We ask him if he needs a ride, and he hops in. He says, "Sure, I'd like to go to McDonald's." So we start to drive him to McDonald's. He comes, and he sits down beside me in the back seat, and he starts to talk to me with, I didn't smell any alcohol on his breath. His eyes were perfectly clear. There was nothing wrong with this guy. And I said, "What are you doing here on this island?" And he said, "Oh, I work at Louis. I'm the busboy. I've been in the back all night washing dishes." So at 3:15 a.m. On Thursday night on Padre Island, we found the one sober 22-year-old left that wasn't a beach reacher. Right? And that's not me. That's not my van. We didn't have a great strategy. We weren't in the back with night vision goggles and long range, like, you know, breathalyzers, like trying to find the one, you know? That wasn't what it is. That was God. And you know what? It's not very far from Louis to McDonald's, but when we pulled up, the conversation had already turned, and me and the other guy in the back, we shared the gospel with my friend Joe for about 30 minutes, and he ended up praying to receive Christ right there before his friends picked him up to take him back to Port Isabel. And that, you're clapping for God, because I didn't do anything. God did. And he will this week. So if you're worried and you're scared when you pull up for that first ride and the door opens up and your heart jumps all the way up to the back of your throat, remember that it's the power of God that's going ahead of you, that's going to to work. I want to read you these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And some of you might feel weak tonight, but I want you to know, according to 2 Corinthians, that's good news. Because through our weakness, through our brokenness, God can be made strong and his name can be glorified. So if you feel like you're not enough, that's okay, because God is enough for this week. All right, last one. Here we go. Exodus 4, verses 14 through 16. But Moses said to the Lord, did I not change it again? Oh, wait, is it the right one up there? Dang, dude. This happened last week, you guys. Again, I said to the group last week, and my group knows this, I've had 7 concussions, so this is probably the reason why. I did fix it, but I don't know. Anyway, all right, if y'all just want to open up your Bibles, because as you'll see, that's not Exodus 4, 14 through 16. That's the same verses as last time, because they don't teach us math when you get your practical theology degree at Howard Payne. All right. Sorry, you know, sting them, but not in math. All right. So if y'all want to open up your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, we'll read it together. What do you say? Yeah? All right. Sorry, I'm dumb. All right. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, But he said in verse 13, all right, we're going to get this right, okay? In verse 13, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Send somebody else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. Here's Moses' last doubt, okay? Oh, he's trying to get it up there. All right, no, it's fine. Moses' last doubt. This isn't really a doubt or a question. It's just like more of an exclamation. Send somebody else. Can't somebody else do this difficult thing? Not me, God. Some of you might feel like that tonight. I don't want to do this. This is hard. Can someone else go? And God's answer to Moses was that he wouldn't replace him, but he would reinforce him. And I want you to look around this room right now. You're not going to be replaced if you have doubts, but you are reinforced. The reinforcements are here. Every single one of us that God has brought to this island, so that when you're low, someone else can pick you up and encourage you. And God can work through your friends in the back of the van, your fellow beach reachers, to reinforce you, so that when you do feel weak, you know that you're not alone. God has not called you on a solo mission. We're squatted up, dropping in. There you go. My CM said I had to do a Fortnite reference. There it is. Hallelujah. We're not alone. We are reinforced. And after all of that, if you still feel like there's a massive chasm between the task that God has called you to do and what you're capable of, I want to leave you with one big idea to think about tonight. The gap between what you are capable of and what God has called you to do is the space where God can show you who he is. Because if all that happened on this island this week is things that you were capable of, then there would be no place to remember the way that God showed up. But because we have been called to such an insurmountable and impossible task, when God achieves it, we will know that it was him. And so tonight, if you still feel like you're not there and you're not ready and the space is too far between you and what you're supposed to do and what you feel like God has called you to this island to do, remember that that's the place where God is going to show up and show off. And his power, not yours, is going to fill that gap. He's the closer that comes in the ninth inning and saves the game, not us. And so this week, because there's such a large gap between what we're being, what we're trying to do, and what we think is possible, we get to have our faith strengthened because God is going to show up and he's going to do that. So tonight I want to challenge you. This is it. We're closing. We're done. I know that was easy, quick, easy. I want to challenge you tonight as the worship team comes back up. We have a few more songs to sing. What are the doubts that you need to give to God tonight? Because we can talk about it and I can pep you up and I can try and like give you a motivational speech. But the truth is that what you need, if there's fear and doubt in your heart right now, is you need to spend some time giving those things to the Lord. Because he has a response for you. And so as we sing these next few songs, I challenge you to think about those things that might be holding you back or the fears that you may have. And I challenge you to pray and to give that to God in your heart. And don't let it stop tonight with our time of worship. When you're in the prayer room, continue to give that to him. And ask that God would continue to supply the gap between what you can do and what we are trying and what God is doing on this island. Pray that he would fill that gap for you. I want to pray a blessing over you guys, and then we'll respond with the time of worship tonight. God, I thank you that you don't leave us alone in our doubts or our worries or our fear. God, but that you reassure us every step of the way, that you go before us, that you go with us, God, that you don't send us alone. I thank you that it is your power that we get to proclaim on this island, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we all have forgiveness and grace through your son, Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross that we have all received. And we can't keep silent about it, God, so we share it. God, let us not be afraid of what you've called us to do. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all the things you're going to do this week. God, thank you for the honor of being a part of what you're doing in this world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.